Good afternoon. Sorry to stop all the good conversation. I realize it's very nice, but as Brother Ernie Monk from Walla Walla would remind us, the train must go on time, full or empty. Could we sing together a very short hymn that we have already sung, number 23, How Good is the God We Adore? And you may wonder why I am suggesting that hymn. I've told the story about the author before, but I'll tell it again for those that don't remember or haven't heard it. Written many, many years ago, back in the 1700s, by a man by the name of Joseph Hart, H-A-R-T. And I don't like to introduce personal things, but why this hymn is particularly special to me personally is because I referred to it many, many years ago when I was still a teenager, when I was asked to give a speech at my local high school. And so it means quite a bit to me. Joseph Hart was a real trophy of the grace of God. He didn't grow up in a Christian home. He knew about Christianity. He knew about the Lord from other sources, but he wasn't interested in being saved. And you know, he came under the hand of the Lord because of that when he was 45 years old, where the Lord used a deep depression in his mind to make him think, where am I headed? And as a result of that, he found the Savior and was saved at the age of 45 or 46. I don't know what took him home to be with the Lord. He didn't live to be an old man because once he got saved, he had only 10 years. He certainly made up, if we could say it this way, made up for lost time. He preached the gospel. He was contemporary, of course, with John and Charles Wesley and people like that that did a wonderful job of turning the whole scene in England around. And he preached the gospel for the next 10 years, then went home to be with the Lord when he was only 56. But just to give you an idea of how much beloved he was and how people enjoyed his ministry and how much impact he made on souls, when he went to be with the Lord, the funeral had to be held out of doors, and I am not exaggerating, there were 20,000 people at his funeral. Boggles my mind to think of a crowd like that. I don't know who had the funeral and made himself heard over that crowd. But anyway, that's the story behind the author of hymn number 23. How good is the God we adore. And I would remind everyone that now that we've lost a number of our people here, we'll all have to sing up well in order to maintain the tune. 23. How good is the God we adore,
our faithful and changeable Friend, whose love is as great as His power, and
Let's look to the Lord for his help. Our loving God and our Father, we thank thee for the precious truth that we have sung in this hymn. Indeed, our God, how good thou art, not only in temporal mercies to us, but in that which is going to last for all eternity. And we thank thee, Lord Jesus, that thou art indeed the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. And we thank thee, precious Savior, for thy word which we can open this afternoon. And we look to thee for thy help as we do so. We pray that thy Spirit might have that holy liberty to lead out our hearts as we seek from thy word to gather what thou wouldst have for us. We thank thee for what we have already had before us in these meetings. We pray that thou wilt continue, our God, to minister to us as thou dost see the need, for we ask it in thy precious and worthy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I have a subject before me this afternoon that at first glance might seem to border on the negative side. And to some extent it does. But I also suggest that there is a wonderful positive side to it. The subject I have before me is what I might entitle Judging the Root. Now, we get roots spoken of a number of places and a number of times in the Word of God, and sometimes in a very positive way. In Ephesians, for example, it talks about our being rooted and grounded in love. And I believe in Colossians we get an expression, rooted and built up in Him. It's important to have good roots. But if there are good roots, good and desirable roots in our Christian lives, I think we would all agree that because that old sinful self, the flesh, is still in us, there are potentially bad roots. And those bad roots can be responsible for a good many negative things in our lives. In fact, they can spoil an otherwise happy Christian life. And yet I speak to my own heart how difficult sometimes we find it is to deal with those bad roots. I want to say at the outset that whatever I am going to say to you this afternoon, with maybe one or two exceptions, I have experience in my own life. So don't think I'm pointing the finger. As we had in the meetings yesterday, if I point one finger this way, there are three of them pointing back this way. And we need to remember that. And I do remember it. So let me emphasize that at the beginning. What do we mean by roots? We all understand what they are, I think. Speaking of roots that are negative, I grew up on a farm. My family were avid gardeners. My maternal grandfather was a gardener by trade, and I learned very young how to garden. And one of the things that we had to do, I had two brothers, and it was quite common for my mother or my father to say, "Come on, we have to get the weeds out of that garden." And so we would go out to pull weeds. And if they were small little weeds, they came out nice and easily. But once in a while, sometimes the garden had been neglected a little, and those weeds had grown a little bigger. If there had been a rain the day before, or maybe even within a couple of days, and you gave a good pull on that big weed, out it would come with the root with it. But some of you that have gardened know what happened. Occasionally, if the ground were hard, we would give a good pull on that weed and it would break off right at ground level. And I am sorry to have to tell you that sometimes, at least I, and maybe my brothers too, would say, oh, well, that's the end of the weed. And we'd throw the top away, hoping that no one would notice that we had left the root. And you know what happened. That root grew again. It's the same way with trees. If you want to get rid of a tree, you have to take the stump out. And I have taken stumps out more than once, sometimes single-handed, because no one else wanted to help me do it. And getting a tree root out is another story. Quite a job for any that have tried it. Quite a thing to do. But if you don't want that tree to spring up and grow again, you have to get that root out of there. Let's read a few verses in starting out. The first one in 1 John chapter 1, which is really, we could get along without any other verse if we just had this one. But we'll read a few others. 1 John chapter 1.